Planning Your Leap into Business, Episode 104. Thanks for tuning into the Planning Your Leap into Business podcast. I'm your host, Malene Issa. As a business mentor, sales coach, and international best-selling author, I am thrilled to welcome you to this show, designed to encourage, excite, and help you to finally create the business and life that you've been dreaming of. There will be 3 episodes per week, where twice a week, I'll be chatting with successful entrepreneurs on why and how they got started in business, their journey to success, and how they overcame obstacles to get where they are today. The 3rd episode of the week, called Expert Fridays, you and I will change direction and put on our student hats as we learn from an expert about a specific tool or strategy to help you get your business off the ground. Show notes for this episode will be available on planningyourleap.com/podcast. So are you ready? Let's go. Hi there, this is Malin. Thank you for listening in to another episode of Planning Your Leap into Business. So how are you doing? How are you doing with planning your leap into business? I hope that my guest entrepreneurs have given you some inspiration as well as some great ideas for how you are going to develop your business plan. By the way, I'm giving away my best-selling book that started this entire podcast journey. That book is Planning Your Leap, 7 Steps to Starting a Profitable Business Before Quitting Your Day Job. To grab that book, just go to my website, planningyourleap.com, and it's right there in the first page. Okay, so let me introduce today's guest. She is Brianna Cavanaugh. Hi, Brianna.
Hi, Ellen. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Good. It's a really beautiful day here. Glad to get to talk to you today.
Okay, so why don't we start with you telling us a little bit more about you?
So I call myself the Financial Bliss Mentor, and I really help conscious entrepreneurs get money and finance and accounting and feel powerful about making money on purpose. Mm-hmm. And in helping people understand money, I help them like transform their relationship from money, from being in debt or anxious or overwhelmed, to something that's easier, where they have more confidence and bliss. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into talking about my money journey, but I find that one of the biggest obstacles to entrepreneurship is the entrepreneur's relationship with money. Mm-hmm. And when I realized that through this exciting process that my life has been, I figured out that in order for us to really have entrepreneurs, you know, these passionate people get their passion out into the world, they really need to be in right relationship with money. So that's what I help folks do.
Oh, excellent. So let's talk about your story then. Like, how did you get started in business? I mean, what motivated you to start a business?
So one of the reasons I like to tell my story is that my story for getting into business is quite different than what other people, talk about. There are lots of people who are like, yeah, I really wanted to be an entrepreneur. I really wanted to start a business. But I didn't have any of those things going on. I had no idea that what I was doing was starting a business when I got into it.
Oh.
What I did know was that I had been quite sick. And so I had done a bunch of work, a bunch of legislative and policy work. And before that, I worked in technology. Mm-hmm. And I had been in the hospital. And when I got out, I had had a migraine for weeks, and I just didn't know what to do. I mean, I had to figure out how to make money because I have a son he's now 18, but at the time, this was 10 years ago, he was 8. And so I was trying to figure out how to like feed us, how to, what to do. And I really couldn't hold down a full-time job because I had been so sick.
Oh, boy.
So a friend of mine was like, hey, why don't you take this super part-time gig? She needs basically a program director, for this music organization. And I was like, well, okay. And when I got into that, I realized that, I started working more and more hours as I got more well. But what I realized is I didn't want to go back to working a full-time job.
Yeah.
Right. What I really wanted to do was explore all of these ideas. So the first bit of me becoming independent was a lot of exploration. So I was working for her, and then she brought me into the fold about, learning about more about accounting and finance. And for a minute, I took a temp job that was working in another, doing some like really massive budgeting projection spreadsheets. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I can, my background is in technology, not, you know, not in accounting.
Right? Yeah.
So I came out of doing all of these other things, and then basically I just needed some work. Right.
Yeah.
And eventually I realized I didn't want to go work, you know, at a corporate job anymore. I certainly didn't want to work in technology with the super long hours.
Yeah.
I really needed to take care of myself. So I went down the path, and in combination, as I was learning all of these skills around accounting and, you know, running nonprofits, first it was nonprofits and then I moved into for-profits.
Yeah.
But learning all these skills, I was like, oh, I'm actually really good at this. I really like it.
Yeah.
And then other people started asking me for advice about what I was doing. They were sort of looking at me and saying, you know about this accounting thing. And at first I basically rejected that. And I was like, no. Because it wasn't when I wanted to get into, you know, I did not, when I was, you know, 12, I didn't say, you know what I want to do when I grow up? I want to be an accountant, right? Because who does that, right? Let's just be legit. Like, nobody does that. But what I found is that I think of myself as kind of a financial translator, you know, and not just for finance, but that I take complex ideas and help people understand them and bring them into empowerment around money.
Yeah.
And that means that I had to go through the process myself. But, you know, I think a lot of people, when they're looking at entrepreneurship, they sort of think it's all or nothing, right?
Yeah.
They're like, got to start a business, got to be super clear and intentional about it. But, you know, it was like a year and a half later, I was talking to my best friend and I was like, I think I'm starting a business. And she was like, I think it's too late. Like, you already have a business.
But it's like you need the definition.
Right. I needed to kind of go out on my own and try some stuff and get, you know, look at how I was going to feed my son and make some money. And then once I was a little further down the road, I was like, oh, this is a business.
Yeah.
Wait, this is a business. Okay. And then put in place the pieces around the business part.
Okay. So you started this business. You saw the potential for doing this as a business. How did you find your clients then?
So at first I just, at first I went to networking events and what I thought I was looking for was the very beginning. I thought I was looking for, you know, kind of part-time gigs.
Yeah.
And, once I got to the place where I was like, oh, this is a business. Okay. I need to go to networking events. And I, at first I just started going to like little local networking events around here. We have, successful thinkers. I went to a couple of BNI groups. And I just kind of looked around for business networking and I started to talk to people about what it was that I was doing.
Yeah.
And at that point I had decided that I was, you know, I was just doing bookkeeping, which is super practical and all, you know, all businesses need.
Yeah.
And it was kind of an uphill battle, in terms of, you know, you have to kind of constantly go to networking events if that's how you're getting clients.
Yeah.
And so, you know, at least once a week I'd have to be out somewhere working on getting clients, talking to people, you know, putting on fancy, shiny clothes.
Being presentable.
Being presentable. Pretending like I want to go outside. Like that. Yeah.
You're like sunlight. Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you did that for a while. And then how did you figure out, like, you're going to add this other things about teaching people about money and their relationship?
Yeah. So I, you know, in the beginning, I really just, I went to my clients' offices and I did bookkeeping for them then. Uh-huh. And it didn't take very long before they were asking me for advice, right? Okay. So how should I do this? How should I spend this? How should I grow my business?
Yeah.
And you know, I just started out by talking to them. Okay. So, you know, here's the numbers, here's what the numbers say. You know, now is not the time to make that, you know, $20,000 investment, or now is the time to make that $20,000 investment. Right.
Yeah.
And it basically evolved from there. One of my clients said, you know, I'd love to do this work with you. Can you help me, you know, develop my business? And the inside of my head went, what the hell are you talking about? and then I said, but my mouth said, sure.
Yeah.
Which was lucky for me. And that was basically the beginning of it. I have to say that one of the things for me in entrepreneurship is a lot of the really good things in my business, I've basically fallen into accidentally. You know, there was some opening, some opportunity, and what I did was just step through the door. And, you know, opportunity is some about just being in the right place at the right time. And it's a lot about saying yes to what comes. You know, because there are always opportunities happening all around me. It's just, you know, which ones do I want to pick?
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
So I basically have done a lot of taking advantage of opportunities that have, you know, opened the door to other bigger things.
Well, it's interesting that you know, because it sounded like before you actually embrace being a business owner that you're 100% going to be in it, you were kind of like, this isn't really a business. And then now that you are in it, you kind of embrace.
Yes.
Taking up, yeah, stepping into opportunities, as you said.
Yeah. You know, so one of the big, I would say pillars of my work is really about creating clarity. For folks that want to be in business, if you're really clear about it and you keep looking for those opportunities, it will become easier and easier to step into that. That's really clear. And for folks that are like, I want to do something independent, but I don't know what. I would say really follow those opportunities. Be really clear about what you need from the opportunities, right? Do you need them to make money? And if so, how much? Because I've watched a lot of like budding entrepreneurs, you know, take a lot of free stuff, do a lot of things for exposure. And, you know, if that's your bag, that's totally cool. But for folks that are like, I need to make money, be really clear about the opportunities that you step in and what kind of energy exchange you want for your opportunity.
Yeah. And today is your business both the bookkeeping as well as the financial bliss, or is it?
Yes. So here, what we do really is, I do three things. So we have a bookkeeping side of our firm. We have, I do financial education for entrepreneurs. So that looks like classes and workshops. And then I do one-to-one financial education, and financial coaching, we call it financial bliss coaching, which is transforming people's relationship with money. And that is really about helping them make more money, you know, get the clarity that they need about what's going on so that they can make more money.
And those clients for the financial coaching, are they tend to be, do they tend to be people who you are doing bookkeeping for, or do they come through a different marketing effort?
So the best clients for us really are people who are doing bookkeeping, because then we can work both sides of the, you know, the organization and the emotional side. And the folks that come to do one-on-one work, they don't have to be doing bookkeeping, but one of the things that does need to be happening is that we help them step into to doing tracking.
Okay. Yeah, because you need to understand your money in general, not only personal, but you need to do that for your business, and you need to track and know where your cash flow is coming and all that good stuff.
Yes. You have to know where your cash flow is coming from. So one of the, I mean, it's a huge mistake that entrepreneurs make, is they're like, I'm going to get into this and I'm really going to go for it. And I'm going to, you know, do all this stuff about my passion, but I'm not really, going to look at the business administration side or the money side.
Right? They eyeball it, you know, like they kind of squint so that they don't really have to really see it clearly.
You know, they're like, I just want to do the thing that I really love to do. And that's great. But the truth is, if you want to have a successful business, right, if you're one of those people that is, I want to hit six figures, I want to hit multiple six figures, I want to hit seven figures, those people work on they work on their business, not just in their business. And the difference is, working in your business is, I'm going to see clients, I'm going to, you know, do my thing, whatever my thing is. But working on your business is, I'm going to do my books, I'm going to do my admin, I'm going to do my marketing. I'm going to do all of the things that surround the business so that I can spend my time working in my business.
Yeah. And I know that you said that before, when you first started out, you went to all these networking events to get your clients. Now, today, do you still do that a lot, or do you have different kinds of marketing things that you do to get clients?
It's a great question. So today it's quite different. Mm-hmm. Once we hit six figures, everything had to change.
Yeah.
Right. There's, we call it the six figure bubble, right? So when folks get between like, and there's a reason people talk about, you know, hitting six figures as a big deal in people's businesses. And we can get into that if you want, but I'll just tell you right now that there's a bubble there, right? You hit about 80K and you really have to change the way that you're doing business, because what happens is you come up against the time versus money issue, right?
Yeah.
So I can't anymore go to networking events at that scale.
Yeah.
It is not physically possible mm-hmm. for me to do that thing.
Yeah.
So instead, you know, we've put in all of these systems. So I do speaking and sometimes I'm on these podcast things
mm-hmm.
and you know, the things that go with having a leveraged practice, right? I also, yeah. you know, I have an email list. People talk mm-hmm. about email lists. I do that. I have a website. The truth is I didn't have a website when I started my business until, mm-hmm. I don't know, for years after I started my business. I actually had to be convinced to get a website.
Well, because your business plan at that time was going to networking events. So you don't technically need a website unless
Yeah. So the first... I don't know, 6 or 7 years of my business, I did all my website stuff myself. I mean, you know, when your business is small, you can give it a shot and do everything. And, you know, I wish I had gotten an assistant sooner and done those things. But the truth is, you know, I was balancing, like most young, you know, not young, but early stage entrepreneurs, balancing money and time and money and time and money and time and mm-hmm. figuring out how to get over the money time hump. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hit six figures. And things start to change.
Yeah.
You have to figure out how to leverage your time.
Yeah.
And that means, for me, that has meant not going to networking events. I can go to the ones that I really love every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my business has gotten really big. I have a staff. I have an assistant, you know.
Yeah.
And in order to basically what's replaced the networking events is managing my staff and working on my business. So I actually see fewer one-to-one clients than I've ever seen. We do more, programs and classes and, you know, we've developed this leveraged process,
mm-hmm.
Of doing these classes and helping entrepreneurs be in community about their money, which is really, really important, right? To get rid of shame.
Yeah.
To release shame and fear, you have to be with other folks.
Yeah.
So it's all good, but it's very different than it was.
Yeah, it has to evolve in the way that it works to work for you versus mm-hmm. you working around what is no longer working.
Yeah. So. Right. That's exactly right. At some point, this is when you look at... So. One of the things that I think they just really don't tell people, there are all these, you know, I've seen all these models about, oh, at this level of income, you know, you want these things. And at this level of income, you want this other thing. But what they don't say is at some point you have to leverage and then leverage and then leverage again
mm-hmm.
because you run out of time.
Yeah.
Right. And so you basically end up at different stages changing your business model
mm-hmm.
In order to figure out how to serve more clients.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. I mean, that's why a lot of entrepreneurs, eventually they are going to, you know, change their business. They're going to tweak it or, you know, evolve it into a different thing.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. So you...
But the other thing that I would say is don't worry too much about that, right? Mm-hmm. If you're a very, very early stage entrepreneur, go for it, you know,
yeah.
And then you'll know when you get to that place. And when you can see it coming, act as soon as you can to do the leverage thing, but don't like you have so many things to do as an entrepreneur. You know, you can focus on 10Xing. Don't worry so much about the scattershot stuff. There's so many things going on. Don't worry too much about it. Just keep doing it. Keep learning. Keep your eye on the prize. It's going to be okay.
Yeah, that's true. Because for one, things change down the road anyways. You know, industry change, the way the market operates change. Like in 2006.
The internet changes.
Yeah, like 2006 when you started, it's just, you know, social media wasn't as big as it is today.
It wasn't a thing.
Yeah. So I know, you know, when you started your business, you decided to jump right, you know, jump into it once you're convinced that that's what you should do.
Yes.
Do you have, you know, mentors or people around you that helped you out with learning about business?
In the very beginning, no. Mm-hmm. I didn't, because I didn't know that that's what I wanted to do, I didn't start with any mentors.
Okay.
And I have to say that that's the hardest way to do that. So if you know that you want to go into business, you know, get help and support.
Yeah.
Because it was really hard. And over time, I've gotten more mentors. And these days I learn, you know, I pick mentors and I learn everything I can from them.
Yeah.
Because it's the fastest way to get through the crap that I'm dealing with, whatever it is.
Yeah. Right?
And the mentors don't need to be that far ahead of me. I mean, some of them are quite a ways ahead of me. You know, when I work with these, you know, many multi-million dollar coaches, that's fantastic. But sometimes, you know, you just need to work with the folks who are a few steps down the road to get you the few steps down the road that you need.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that I've worked with a number of mentors and each one of them has their specialty.
Yeah.
And I've learned something from each of them. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those things that... Today, there's so many things to learn that a lot of people tend to specialize and be really good at whatever it is that they're good at. And it's better to connect with somebody like that than trying to just figuring it out all on your own. Because, you know, like you said, it's you're fast tracking your way towards your goals.
That's right. That's right.
So, yeah, I totally agree with that. Because I kind of did the same thing where I went through certification, then I did my own thing. And that worked, but it was such a grind. And then things, you know, then I launched full-time. And, you know, there were periods of it where I thought, oh, why did I not get help sooner?
Yes,
like,
yes.
Like, brr, you know, one of those moments. Now, you've been in business for a while, so for most business owners I know, they have this ups and downs in their business. Was there a point where you had a, you know, like a big hiccup in your business, and how did you get back on track?
Yeah, you know, pick one, right? There's really two that have been really huge. One of them was I realized that I needed to do marketing.
Mm.
You know, when I got into business, I did what a lot of people do, which is, oh, well, I'm going to make this plan and the clients are going to show up.
Yeah, I wish. Don't you wish that's how it goes?
Right. And because that's what you see on TV, right? People are like, I'm going to do this thing, and they make the plan and then it happens.
Yeah.
And that is totally full of crap. That is not a real thing. For the record, and realizing that what I needed to be doing, that it didn't matter how good I was at my work, that if I did not do an extensive amount of marketing, that I was always going to have up and downs in my income, always, 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 always.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a huge breakthrough. Once I figured that out, then I could put my energy towards that. And the first year of really doing intensive marketing was... For me, it was a huge uphill battle, right? That was enormous to figure out how to start to even start to put these systems in place because, you know, what the hell, right? Like, I did not get into business to do marketing. That was not my intention.
Yeah.
And it's something that I've had to learn really, really, really clearly in really specific areas so that I could do the thing that I'm good at. But figuring out how to do marketing is huge. And then the other one is... So the first set of staff that I hired people because I really liked them, and you know that I could see their potential to do the job.
Yeah,
and just like in relationship, the potential your mate has is not the same as who they actually are right now.
Yeah,
and so I worked with, you know, the first few folks that worked for me, and at some point I was working with a coach who said, "You need to fire these three people." And I was like, but I really like them.
Mm.
And she was like, you know, but they're not meeting their deadlines, but they're not showing up for you, you know. And it took me literally 4 months longer than it should have to fire the first one who was not doing what he was supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very, I mean, you know, it cost me several thousand dollars. I mean, probably close to $10,000 at least for that mistake,
yeah.
You know, both, you know, in money and then the time that I'll never get back doing the work, you know, having to fix all the work and all of the, you know, losing clients because we weren't making deadlines because I didn't, you know, let go of this person fast enough. And that really was, you know, I was not somebody who was managing large staffs of people. I mean, I'd managed lots of volunteers, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of them, but that was not the same as managing staff. And so getting really clear about my hiring and firing policy, and how I was going to communicate my vision to my staff has been really huge. So, you know, then I had to basically rehire kind of one at a time, each of these positions, for folks who actually have the, you know, the competency right now and who this is what they really wanted to be doing. And that meant things like, you know, paying more money and getting really clear about that and creating a ton and ton and ton of clarity about, what I wanted folks to do for me. And, you know, I had some of that in the beginning, but I just, you know, you don't know what you don't know. Right. And when my coach was like, you know, this, 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 and this, I could no longer keep my eyes shut to these problems. Which was good. That's exactly why I hired her. Tell me, tell me what I need to do. And closing that gap between tell me what I need to do and actually doing it is, it's just huge.
Yeah. I know for a lot of entrepreneurs, their first couple of hires are just, I don't know, it's not excruciating, but you know, it's like one of those, do you hire, do you not hire? And then when you finally say, okay, I'm going to hire, and it doesn't work out, then you're like, ooh, you know, but it's all a learning process though, because you, like you said, you don't know what you don't know. And sometimes it's a trial and error, and unfortunately it costs you money.
Yes, sometimes a lot of money.
Yeah, but you know, did you, I guess you didn't have much of a choice in the sense of you didn't like hire somebody part-time and then...
I did hire them part-time, but the issue was, I didn't know that this was gonna be how it goes. I didn't know this is what happened with other entrepreneurs because it was new to me, right? And it's like if you think back to learning to drive a car, right? You've never done a bunch of things. You know, you've never accidentally run a red light, right? You've never been pulled over by the police, right? Like, you know, you just don't know how it's going to go down. And there's some things that you don't know. Like, you don't know if you're ever going to get pulled over by the police, you know, whether you've done something wrong, right or wrong or whatever, right? There's some of these things, there's no way to know. And some of them, you know, I've been driving now for, you know, 25 years or whatever. And I know that sometimes I run red lights. Like, it's just the, like, it's just the nature of driving a car, right? It just happens.
Well, let me, you need to warn me when you're out.
We sometimes make mistakes and we have to both hold ourselves accountable for our mistakes and forgive ourselves and move on. So learn the lesson and then, you know, try to do something different moving forward and know that there's just, you know, progress, not perfection. Wait till it's perfect. You've waited too long. It's too late.
And that is so true. And like you said, you just learn from it and you just have to move along because otherwise it's just, there's just no progress because you're captured by a mistake in the past.
That's right. That's right.
So I know for, I'm sure you have a ton of successes in your business. Is there one that stands out to you the most?
You know, hitting six figures was a big deal. Like recognizing that I was in that gap and just deciding to go over it. That was huge. And I didn't realize how big it was till I was on the other side of it and looking back and saying, oh, right. This, like, you have to really want it and you have to really kind of push through it in order to make it go. That's, that was a big deal. And having the courage to really, you know, I think of the biggest success in my business is actually being something that's ongoing. And that is having the courage to keep going when it gets hard. Because the big successes are easy in some ways, right? Like, you know, when I talk about getting to six figures, I can help you do that, right? I know how to do it. I know how to make the money. And for folks who are earlier on, it's a big deal. And it is a big deal even still. And the biggest deal about business is really just the courage to continue to keep going when it's hard.
Yeah.
Businesses don't fail for lack of money. Businesses fail because people give up on them, right?
Yeah.
And so it's that everyday courage of like, oh yeah, it's hard today. And it might be hard every day for a couple of weeks or a couple of months, right? And then it'll get easier if you're willing to stay with it until you have that breakthrough, right? Because this is not a thing that you do once, right? This is a thing that you're going to do over and over and over and over and over and over in your business.
Yeah.
Is have to have the courage to do the next hard thing. Because just like what we were talking about, at these different levels of business, you're going to have the courage to learn the next thing and do the next hard thing.
Yeah.
Right? That's the big deal about business. I tell people that business is your biggest, fastest, most intense path to personal growth.
Yeah, that's true.
You really want to grow? Start a business.
Yes, that's definitely true. I think the other thing too about owning a business is that it's always changing. You know, unfortunately, the world doesn't stand still. And it's fortunate, actually. Unfortunate and fortunate. You know, the good stuff, the bad stuff, everything changes all the time and you have to adapt to it. And there's no way for you to, to stand still, because then everything's going to pass you by and you will fail. You probably have, like a lot of people, have a lot of great habits. Is there one personal habit that you feel has contributed a lot to your success?
The big one in terms of business. So I would say that the business success, you ask for one and I give you two. So the business success, I would say, is twofold. One of them is curiosity. And that's curiosity about myself and curiosity about business. You know, the curiosity about myself is, what story am I telling myself that either is or isn't working for me? The curiosity about my success to be able to look at it and either replicate it or look at the difficult thing and deconstruct it and just be really curious and be like unafraid to look, you know, at what's happening. So that constant curiosity and wonderment really helps me to have and build successes. The other one I would say is really being good to my body. The personal habits that are, I get up in the morning and I feed myself and I go to the Y and, you know, I work out really hard several days a week and then I come home and start working. That's huge. And completely taking weekends off. I am really super committed to taking great care of myself.
Yeah.
And I think that that combination of habits is really once I really got that down, that's really taken my business a long way.
Interesting. As a business owner, sometimes you forget about that because you're just going, building, you know, doing all the things that you need to develop your business, grow your business, but you forget about your own personal well-being.
That's right.
Yeah.
Especially startups, especially folks that are trying to balance, you know, having, you know, doing some kind of work or getting into entrepreneurship. There's this story about entrepreneurship that says that really the first years of your business, you're going to work 60, 70, 80 hours a week and, you know, forget about having a home life or having, you know, a relationship with your children. And you can choose that path.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you that that is the short path to burnout.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You have to figure out a way to take really great care of yourself.
Yeah. And that's an excellent point.
Yeah.
Now, I know a lot of entrepreneurs, they read a lot of books, you know, to help supplement their knowledge, to motivate them, to educate themselves. Is there one that you would recommend to an aspiring entrepreneur, and why would you recommend that book?
So I thought about this question a lot, and I actually have a list of books on my website that I recommend for entrepreneurs. There's a resource section. Folks can go look. there's, I'm trying, so there's two, like, there's so many that I
can. Well, I know, that's start? The thing, but yeah, I know, but
one that's thing all that we could do. So okay. There's, one of them is, there's this book called by Amanda Palmer called The Art of Asking. Mm-hmm. And it is not specifically a business book, but it is her journey from, you know, being like someone who's busking on the streets and like, you know, trading, you know, or giving away a flower in exchange for, you know, a donation in her hat kind of a thing, uh-huh, to being, you know, Amanda Palmer, married to Neil Gaiman, that chick that everybody thinks is super awesome and plays this amusing music and, you know, has wide appeal. And what it talks about really is the vulnerability that it takes to be honest and to persevere in the face of things that are really, really, really difficult. Hmm. And I mean, I said this earlier in my thing, but perseverance is really, you know, it's the hardest thing to keep doing when, you know, people say negative crap about you. There's people think that they're exposing something that you did that's not really a thing. You know, everybody has an opinion and most of them are wrong. You know, you don't really know what's on the inside of what's going on with people, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's this combination of how she stepped into her power and how she, you know, fell in love with her husband. And, you know, and a third story that I won't tell you about because it's also very sweet. But what that does for me when I listen to it, and I listen to Audible books more than I read, okay, that then I can, you know, listen to them in the car or while I'm walking, you know, at the gym.
Yeah.
And it, what it did for me is really bring me present to what's important to me in an everyday way. Because I think it's also really easy as entrepreneurs to kind of harden our hearts, mm-hmm, and just really get into doing and doing and doing and doing.
Yeah.
But it's our beingness for service providers, right? This is a really for service providers because that's who I work with. It's, mm-hmm, our beingness that people are drawn to, right? Yeah. Yes, I am brilliant, but there are lots of people that you can learn about money from. The reason that people come to me is because I hold an unconditional loving space for them and I'm non-judgmental and also funny, right? That combination of like, we're going to take this seriously, but not that seriously.
Yeah.
But you can go to other people who work with money who are going to shame you and force you. And, you know, lots of people, they want the boot camp approach. That's fine. That's not me. Right. Mm-hmm. People come to me as a service provider because of my beingness. And so I am responsible for cultivating that beingness. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, getting rest. That's listening to books and materials that are helping me be really present and be really loving and live the values that I say are important.
Yeah. Excellent. So that's a lot to think about. Well, because it's true. Because, you know, because like you said, I think in this culture, we do. There's a lot of doing. And there's a need to do some more introspection and a need to be less dogmatic and being open to ideas that could improve where you are and where you want to go.
Yep.
So, yeah, thank you for that.
And I mean, the thing that's important to me is bringing more love into the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I think that's what a lot of service providers want to be up to or say that they're up to, but they, mm-hmm, get into business and then they're, you know, working their 60 or 70 or 80 hours a week all day long, every day, going to every, yeah, networking event, and they're super overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the part of the reason that clients don't come is, you know, the client looks at the overwhelmed service provider and they don't want that.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't get into a part of this life to be overwhelmed, to live a miserable life. Yeah. That's what I signed up for. Not so much.
Not so much.
Yeah. Oh, that's so too funny.
It's important. And I think that, continuing to come back to this idea of what is what's really important to us and why are we bashing our head against the same rock every day, all day, yeah, long, right?
Yeah.
Why are we continuing to be in business? Why do we really want that? And to really, you know, stay, like, connect to our big why and keep with that, you know, keep,
yeah,
with, you know, bringing more love into the world, into our lives, having, yeah, our pleasure.
Yeah. So true. Now, how about advice to, an entrepreneur that who's just started in their journey?
So I would, there's a couple pieces of advice that I would say are really critical. One is make sure that if you need to make money at the thing that you're trying to make money at, that you do your market research, right? If this needs to make you money, figure out that it can make you money and not just in theory. Look around at other people who are making money doing this and see what's going on there. Make sure that this is a viable thing.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks that they're a unicorn. You're and not to burst your bubble, but you're not a unicorn, right? People are doing related things.
I'm not.
Well, maybe you are. Maybe I am. But in general, you know, people are doing related things. They might not be doing exactly the thing that you're doing, but they're doing related things. And you want to know, be certain that this is something that if you're basing your livelihood on it, that it's going to make money, right?
Yeah.
And that you explore that before you put all of your eggs in that basket. So that's a big thing. And then the other thing I would say is don't do it alone. Find a community of folks. And whether that's, you know, do a program with a big coach, you find other entrepreneurs at networking events.
Yeah.
And create some kind of group. I have a mastermind group that I personally am in that is other, you know, entrepreneurs who are, you know, at my level and really going for it that inspire me, that I talk to every week, sometimes more often than once a week. Yeah. And if I, you know, without that, it's hard for me to maintain my momentum. So get support. Do not do this alone. You don't have to do it alone. And there are lots of folks that'll help you.
Yes, that's definitely true. I think the mistake that sometimes when you're just starting out is that you think you can do it by yourself, you can figure it out by yourself, but part of entrepreneurship is just not just figuring it out, but it's also connecting with other people and maintaining that momentum. And you're right, having a group of entrepreneurs around you who have the same energy, who wants to succeed. And I'm not talking about those who are complaining. you can always find those people, but
leave the complainers behind, man.
Yeah, exactly. And the ones that are encouraging, who are honest and who really want to grow their business, those are the kinds of entrepreneurs you should surround yourself with, because that's just, they're going to pull you forward with their energy. And it's just a symbiotic in a way, relationship.
Yeah. So the idea of a mastermind comes out of the Napoleon Hill book. That's, you know, from the 1920s, and he talks about a mastermind. So if you're really interested in that idea, check out that book. It's fallen into the public domain. You can get it for free on the internet. And, but the idea is that when people come together, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
Yeah.
Right. So when you get together with other entrepreneurs who are also really going for it and using their positive energy, it just moves everybody forward.
Yeah. Right?
And that's what you want.
Yeah.
Because it's much harder to do it on your own than it is to do it with other people.
Yeah. So Brianna, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, how should they do that?
Our website is blissyourmoney.com. So B-L-I-S-S, blissyourmoney.com. And if you go, there's two ways to reach me. One is you can sign up for our website. We give away lots of cool stuff about how to I do both mindset stuff, like how to really keep it together and how to move forward in a positive way, as well as like super practical money stuff. And then if you really want to talk to me, I have a form on my website where you can fill it out and my assistant will set up time to talk to me. So I'd be happy to do that too. But it's all at blissyourmoney.com. And we'd love to talk to you.
Okay, excellent. And I will have all that information on my website, planningelite.com. Well, thank you so much for being here and sharing your story.
Sure. Thank you for having me. This is great. Thank you.
All right. Well, have a great week and take care.
Yeah, you too.
Here are the instructions to enter the 100th episode celebration raffle for the Planning Your Leap Into Business podcast. The prize is one spot to the Call to Action teleseminar. What you need to do is go to iTunes and leave an honest rating and review for this podcast. Then you need to share your review on social media, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever it is that you use, and use the hashtag PYLIB. Once you're done, Take a snapshot and email that snapshot to feedback@planningyourleap.com. In the subject line, reference Raffle, R-A-F-F-L-E. Make sure you include your name and phone number. Entries will be accepted between August 1st through August 31st. You may submit an entry to this raffle once a day, but it must be a brand new share on social media. You can go to planningyourleap.com/raffle to get more details. That's it for today's episode. Head over to planningyourleap.com for show notes, resources, and tips. Thanks for spending time with me. Remember, nothing happens until you take action. So decide, do, done.